within a day, or an hour, maybe. So a four-month winning streak would need some kind of a huge scam. Collusion. Conspiracy. Dozens of dealers, dozens of players, maybe hundreds of each. Maybe the whole house was playing against its investors. Maybe the whole town was. That would be a big enough deal for people to get killed over. There was plenty of security in the room. There were cameras aimed at the players and the dealers. Some of the cameras were big and obvious. Some were small and discreet. Probably there were others that were invisible. There were men and women patrolling in evening wear with earpieces and wrist microphones, like Secret Service agents. There were others, undercover, in plain clothes. Reacher made five of them within a minute and assumed there were many more that he was missing. He threaded his way back to the lobby, found Carla Dixon waiting by the fountains. She had showered and changed out of her jeans and leather jacket into a black pantsuit. Her hair was wet and slicked back. Her suit coat was buttoned, and she had no blouse under it. She looked pretty good.
Vegas was settled by the Mormons. Did you know that?
No, Reacher said.
Now it's growing so fast they print the phone book twice a year.
I didn't know that either.
700 new houses a month.
They're going to run out of water.
No question about that, but they'll make hay until they do. Gambling revenues alone are close to $7 billion a year.
Sounds like you've been reading a guidebook.
Dixon nodded. There was one in my room. They get 30 million visitors a year. That means each one of them is losing an average of more than $200 per visit.
$233.33, Reacher said automatically. The definition of irrational behavior.
The definition of being human, Dixon said. Everybody thinks they're going to be the one.
Then O'Donnell showed up. Same suit, different tie, maybe a fresh shirt. His shoes shone in the lights. Maybe he had found a polishing cloth in his bathroom.
30 million visitors a year, he said.
Reacher said, Dixon already told me. She read the same book.
That's 10% of the whole population. And look at this place.
You like it?
It's making me see Sanchez and Orozco in a whole new light.
Reacher nodded. Like I said before, you all moved onward and upward. Then Nagley stepped out of the elevator. She was dressed the same as Dixon, in a severe black suit. Her hair was wet and combed. We're swapping guidebook facts, Reacher said.
I didn't read mine,
Nagley said. I called Diana Bond instead. She got there and waited an hour and went back again. Was she pissed at us?
She's worried. She doesn't like Little Wing's name out there. I said I'd get back to her.
Why?
She's making me curious. I like to know things.
Me too. Right now, I'd like to know if someone scammed $65 million in this town. And how.
It would be a big scam, Dixon said. Prorated across a whole year, it would be close to 3% of the total revenue stream.
2.78, Reacher said automatically.
Let's make a start, O'Donnell said.
Chapter 43. They started at the concierge desk, where they asked to see the duty security manager. The concierge asked if there was a problem, and Reacher said, "We think we have mutual friends." There was a long wait before the duty security manager showed up. Clearly, social visits were low on his agenda. Eventually, a medium-sized man in Italian shoes and a $1,000 suit walked over. He was about 50 years old, still trim and fit, in command, relaxed, but the lines around his eyes showed he must have done at least 20 years in a previous career, a harder career. He disguised his impatience well and introduced himself and shook hands all around. He said his name was Wright and suggested they talk in a quiet corner. Pure reflex, Reacher thought. His instincts and his training told him to move potential trouble well out of the way. Nothing could be allowed to slow down the cash flow. They found a quiet corner. No chairs, of course.
No Vegas casino would give guests a comfortable place to sit, away from the action. For the same reason, the lights in the bedrooms had been dim. A guest upstairs reading was no use to anyone. They stood in a neat circle, and O'Donnell showed his DCPI license and some kind of an accreditation note from the Metro PD. Dixon matched it with her license and a card from the NYPD. Nagley had a card from the FBI. Reacher produced nothing, just tugged his shirts down over the shape of the gun in his pocket. Wright said to Nagley, "I was with the FBI once upon a time." Reacher asked him, "Did you know Manuel Orozco and Jorge Sanchez?"
"Did I? Or do I?"
"Did you? Orozco's dead for sure, and we figure Sanchez is too."
"Friends of yours?"
"From the army."
"I'm very sorry."
"We are too."
"Dead when?"
3-4 weeks ago."
"Dead how?"
"We don't know. That's why we're here."
"I knew them,"
Wright said.
"I knew them pretty well. Everyone in the business knew them."
"Did you use them? Professionally?"
"Not here. We don't contract out.
We're too big. Same with all the larger places." "Everything's in-house?" Wright nodded.
"This is where FBI agents and police lieutenants come to die. We get the pick of the litter. The salaries on offer here, they're lining up out the door. Not a day goes by that I don't interview at least two of them on their last vacation before retirement."
"So how did you know Orozco and Sanchez?"
"Because the places they look after are like training camps. Someone gets a new idea, they don't try it out here.
That would be crazy.
They perfect it someplace else first. So we keep people like Orozco and Sanchez sweet because we need their advance information. We all hook up once in a while. We talk, conferences, dinners, casual drinks."
"Were they busy? Are you busy?"
"Like one-armed paper hangers."
"You ever heard the name Azari Mahmoud?"
"No. Who is he?"
"We don't know, but we think he's here under an alias."
"Here?"
"Somewhere in Vegas. Can you check hotel registrations?"
"I can check ours, obviously. And I can call around."
"Try Andrew McBride and Anthony Matthews."
"Oh, subtle."
Dixon asked, "How do you guys know if a card player is cheating?"
"If he's winning."
"People have to win."
"They win as much as we let them. Any more than that, they're cheating. It's a question of statistics. Numbers don't lie. It's about how, not if."
O'Donnell said, "Sanchez had a piece of paper with a number written on it. $65 million. $100,000 times 650 separate occasions over a 4-month period, to be precise."
"So?"
"Are those the kind of numbers you would recognize?"
"As what?"
"As a ripoff."
"What's that in a year? Almost 200 million?
195, Reacher said.
"Conceivable," Wright said. "We try to keep wastage below 8%. That's like an industry target. So we lose way more than 200 million in a year. But having said that, 200 million in one specific scam would be a hell of a large proportion all in one go, unless it was something new, over and above, in which case our 8% target is shot all to hell, in which case you're starting to worry me."
"It worried them," Reacher said. "We think it killed them."
"It would be a very big deal. 65 million in 4 months. They'd need to recruit dealers and pit bosses and security people. They'd need to jinx cameras and erase tapes. They'd have to keep the cashiers quiet. It would be industrial-scale scamming."
"It might have happened."
"So why aren't the cops talking to me?"
"We're a little ways ahead of them."
"The Vegas PD? The gaming board?"
Reacher shook his head.
Our guys died across the line in L.A. County. A couple of sheriffs out there are dealing with it.
And you're ahead of them. What does that mean?
Reacher said nothing. Wright was quiet for a beat. Then he looked at each face in turn. First Nagley, then Dixon, then O'Donnell, then Reacher.
Wait. Don't tell me. The Army. You're the special investigators, their old unit. They talked about it all the time.
Reacher said, in which case you understand our interests. You worked with people.
If you find something, will you cut me in?
Earn it, Reacher said.
As a girl,
Wright said. She works in some awful place with a fire pit, a bar near where the Riviera used to be. She's tight with Sanchez.
His girlfriend?
Not exactly. Maybe once. But they're close. She'll know more than I do. Chapter 44. Wright went back to work, and Reacher checked with the concierge as to where the Riviera had been. He got directions back to the cheap end of the strip. They walked. It was a warm, dry desert night. The stars were out on the far horizon, beyond the pall of smog and the wash of the streetlights. The sidewalks were matted with discarded, full-color postcards advertising prostitutes. It seemed like the free market had driven the base price down to a penny under 50 bucks. Although Reacher had no doubt that sum would inflate pretty fast once some hapless punter actually got a girl to his room. The women in the pictures were pretty, although Reacher had no doubt they weren't real. They were probably library shots of innocent swimsuit models from Rio or Miami. Vegas was a city of scams. Sanchez and Orozco must have been permanently busy.
Like one-armed paper hangers,
Wright had said. And Reacher was completely ready to believe him. They got level with the peeling cement bar with the cheap beer and the dirty girls and turned right into a mess of curving streets flanked by one-story, tan, stucco buildings. Some were motels, some were grocery stores, some were restaurants, some were bars. All had the same kind of signs, white boards behind glass on tall poles with horizontal racks for slot-in black letters. All the letters were in the same pinched vertical style, so it required concentration to tell one type of establishment from another. Groceries advertised six packs of soda for $1.99. Motels boasted about air and pools and cable. Restaurants had all-you-can-eat breakfast buffets 24 hours a day. The bars majored on happy hours and permanent low prices for well shots. They all looked the same. They walked past five or six before they found one with a sign that said, Fire Pit. The sign was outside a plain stucco shoebox, short on windows. It didn't look like a bar. It could have been anything at all. It could have been an STD clinic or a fringe church, but not inside. Inside, it was definitely a Vegas bar. It was a riot of decor and noise. 500 people, drinking, shouting, laughing, talking loud. Purple walls, dark red banquettes. Nothing was straight or square. The bar itself was crowded and long and curved into an S shape. The tail of the S curled around a sunken pit. In the center of the pit was a round, fake fireplace. The flames were represented by jagged lengths of orange silk, blown upright by a hidden fan. They swayed and moved and danced in beams of bright red light. Away from the fire, the room was divided into plush velvet booths. All the booths were full of people. The fire pit was packed. People were standing everywhere. Music played from hidden speakers. Waitresses in abbreviated outfits threaded expertly through the crowds with trays held high.
Lovely, O'Donnell said.
Call the taste police, Dixon said.
Let's find the girl and take her outside,
Nagley said. She was uncomfortable in the press of people. But they couldn't find the girl. Reacher asked at the bar for Jorge Sanchez's friend, and the woman he was talking to seemed to know exactly who he meant, but said she had gone off duty at midnight.
She said the girl's name was Milena. For safety's sake, Reacher asked two of the waitresses the same question and got the same answers from both of them. Their colleague Milena was tight with a security guy called Sanchez, but she was gone for the night, home to sleep, to get ready for another hard 12-hour shift the next day. Nobody would tell him where home was.